Blog Talk Radio.
Christian, do not seek repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Put your heavenly armor on. Wear it always
night and day.
Ooh. To defeat the evil one.
Watch and pray. Jesus said to one. Above all, hear your Lord. Love Him, serve Him, and obey. Treasure in your heart His word. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that victory shall be won. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Well, good evening. You're listening to In the Word with Sister Pearl on Reaching Out Radio. What a joy it is to have you on our listening radio program tonight. Just thrilled to be able to share the Word of God with you. Want to welcome all of our listening guests, not only in the United States of America, but in Canada, in Europe, South America, Australia, Mexico, Africa, Europe. We are so grateful that you've joined with us today, and we want to bless you in the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. So just sit tight and get a cold drink of water if you're in a warm country. I know where I am right now. It's very, very warm, but you might be enjoying some cooler weather. But wherever you are, just be prayerful, be mindful. We're going to talk about a very, very important subject. It's entitled Watch and Pray. It's so important that you and I watch and pray. Now, I realize that, like in any program that's over the internet and that can be picked up worldwide, we're talking to different kinds of people. We're talking to people that already know the Lord, have a relationship with God, are in Christ. But we're also talking to some men and women, maybe some boys and girls, who yet do not really know the Lord themselves as their, you know, Savior and having Jesus as their God. But you know what? Whoever you are and wherever you are, this word is definitely for you. Whether you know the Lord or not, this word is for you, because all of us, we're very important to God, and God has a plan, He has a destiny, He has a purpose for us, and it's so important that we lock in to God's destiny and His purpose, because His plans for us is so far superior to anything that we might have in our mind, as our ambition, have as goals. God is the one who's given us life. And so as the creator of life, He has the best plan that you can be guaranteed than anything you and I, or even a friend, your parents, your teacher, whoever it is that's speaking into your life, whoever they are, God has the very, very best plan for you. So I want us to just open up in a word of prayer, and let's just ask God, invite Him to guide and direct and be the one leading in this hour. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I come. And I'm so grateful, Lord God, for everything that you have blessed us with. Thank you for life and strength and health. Thank you, Lord God, for another privilege to be on Reaching Out Radio. Thank you for Evangelist Montel Fields, that you've given a wonderful vision for this radio program that reaches out across the nations. And not only the continents that I mentioned, but also including Asia. So we're so grateful that so many people around the world are able to hear this program tonight, or even on demand, whenever they would just click onto that link, they can hear this message that you've given us. Watch and pray. So, Father, I ask that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted, that you would be exalted, that what you want to say to your people will be done, and that you'd open up the hearts and the minds and the understanding and the ears of those people that are listening. We ask you, Lord God, to dispel every distraction, everything that the enemy would try to bring to their mind in the next hour. Let them have clarity of mind. Lead them and guide them directly. Give them the understanding that we all need from you, and ask that above all, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to tell you that this message that I'm going to share with you, I'm very excited about it. And the title certainly is not new, because it comes from the words of Jesus himself when he told his disciples to watch and pray. But I have to be honest and tell you that I prayed and sought the Lord about this message for a special conference that I was speaking at in Pensacola, Florida, just in July, the weekend of the 13th. So it was the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And the 15th is when I gave this message. But it was translated into Vietnamese, and the Lord was with us. I had a terrific translator. I really sensed that God was in that word, that he gave me what I needed to bring it forth. And it was even being heard and seen on Facebook. We had over 570 viewers, close to maybe about 580 viewers. But lo and behold, all of a sudden, Facebook decided to take it off. So even prior to them taking it off of Facebook, the Lord had put it so strongly in my heart that this is the word that he wanted me to bring the next time that I was going to be sharing on Reaching Out Radio. So I am convinced, and I have great confirmation, that this is the word that the Lord has for all of us listening in at this time. Watch and pray. So tonight, when I was in Pensacola, I actually took this passage from Matthew, but it was from Matthew chapter 26, and I began in verse 36. But tonight, I'm going to take it from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 32 to 41. So if you're reading your Bible with me, please turn to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 32 to 41. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping. Because their eyes were heavy, they did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Wow. So let me just read one more time that word from God, what he said, when Jesus said to his disciples, verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times, and he had to keep coming back to his disciples to really challenge them, because what were they doing? The first time, before he went away the first time, he actually shared his heart with them, and he said, look, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I want everybody to understand very clearly. I know some of you do, but for those that don't, when Jesus came to the earth, he had already been God from the very beginning. Actually, he has no beginning. But from time that we can understand, God has always been God. Jesus has always been God. But he came at one point to the earth, allowed himself to be wrapped in a human body. And when he was wrapped in that human body, he was fully God, yet at the very same time, for those 33 years that he walked the earth, he was also fully man. So he was fully God and fully man. There was no one ever like him, and no one will ever be like him again. He is fully God and fully man when he walked on the earth. Now, we know that Jesus has ascended back to his heavenly Father. He is no longer a man walking on the earth. He is no longer a man walking in heaven. The Bible says that he's a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But when he was on the earth those 33 years, he was fully God and fully man. So that helps us to understand his condition as being fully man, that man part of him, the carnate part of him, told his disciples and shared with them very honestly, please stay here and pray. Sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John. Those were the three closest to him out of the 12 disciples. Out of the 12 disciples, I want to repeat this, he had a core group that was the closest to him out of the 12. And those were Peter, James, and John. Now, Jesus began to be deeply distressed, as I read before in verse 33. And he shared his heart with them. And he says, look, my soul, in verse 34, is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. You know, I feel so overwhelmed with sorrow. It's like I could die right now. And then he challenged them, and he asked them to please stay here and keep watch. Now, he went out a little farther. He fell down to the ground. He prayed. And he even asked the Heavenly Father, if it be possible, would you let this pass from me? What was he talking about? That if possible, the hour might pass from me. He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about going to the cross and being nailed on a cross and giving his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. And the man part of him was thinking about all the pain that would be coming along with it, the agony, the humiliation, the whole thing. And him being also fully God, he could see what a natural man could not see. So he already knew what he was going to be dealing with. And he asked his Heavenly Father, if it be possible, pass from me. And then he said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, and this is so, what an important lesson for you and for me. I know it's possible, Father, that you could take this cup from me. What do you mean by this cup? You could take away the future that's coming in front of me, where I don't have to go on the cross and I don't have to suffer and die. You could do it if you wanted to, because that is possible for you to do that. But nevertheless, not what I will. I really want, Heavenly Father, your will to be done. The man part of me would like not to suffer, and bleed, and be tormented, and be humiliated. But you know what? I'm going to yield my spirit to your spirit. So not my will be done, but let your will be done. Then he came back, and he looked at his disciples.
hoping that he would find them watching. They were not watching. He found them sleeping. And he said to Simon, "Are you asleep? Couldn't you at least keep watch for 1 hour while I went away and prayed?" Then he said again, "Watch and pray. Not only watch, I want you to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak." And that's God's word to you and to me today. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, he had only been gone an hour. And yet when he came back for the disciples to see if they were on the watch, they were fast asleep. And he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So one more time, he went away and he prayed the same thing. When he came back in, found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not even know what to say to him. I'm sure they were ashamed. And he told them, you know, watch and pray. He went back to pray a third time. And he came back to them a third time. Now the third time he says, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed." And so this, sad to say, is the condition of so many of the people that claim to follow Christ and are alive today and living for Jesus today. And so I'm hearing in my spirit the same words of the Lord. He's reminding us of his precious word in Matthew and in Mark, and three times prayed in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, and three times he came back and he found disciples asleep. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says it like this: "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Then God's word strongly encourages and urges us in Romans chapter 6 and in Romans chapter 7 of the war between the flesh and the spirit. There's a constant struggle between the flesh and the spirit. They continually struggle against each other. In the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have been set free from the bondage of sin and death. And it really comes down to which side are we going to yield ourselves to? Are we going to yield ourselves to the flesh or to the spirit? See, that's the question that you and I face, whether we be in Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Australia, no matter where we are, Europe, no matter where we are, the struggle is between the flesh and the spirit. Then the word of God tells us, again, "I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." What does that mean? Well, that, what I just read, was taken from Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. Now, the reality is this: when we come to know Jesus, when we come to understand that all of us, outside of following Jesus, when we did not know the Lord, when we were not following Jesus Christ, before we gave our lives fully over to Jesus and made him the master and the Lord and the ruler of our lives, it was very difficult, and actually it's impossible, to really follow Jesus and be pleasing to God in our flesh, because flesh cannot please God. I've heard so many people tell me, "You know, Sister Pearl, I tried to be a Christian. I remember in the year so-and-so, I tried to be a Christian, and I tried it for about a year, or I tried it for about a year and a half, or I tried it for 6 months, or I tried to do it for 6 weeks, but I really found out that I cannot live a Christian life." And when they tell me this, of course, I'm not surprised whatsoever. And so I tell them something that a lot of them find shocking. I say, "Well, it's about time that you found out that you cannot live a Christian life because you are trying to live a Christian life by your flesh, by your own human capabilities and abilities. You are trying very hard to work it up to try to be a good person and follow a list of you know, what you think are rules that God would be happy about, or maybe what somebody told you, you know, and maybe, God forbid, but maybe somebody gave you a list of rules and said, follow this list, and then you'll be a good Christian. There's no such thing. And that's why Jesus came. That's why God came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, and to live a sinless life, a blameless life, but he lived a life so that he can not only, number one, show us the way how to live pleasing to God, but he lived a life that he knew he was going to allow his body to be sacrificed, to be crucified, so that he could pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. All of us, every last one of us as a human being, outside of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that was fully God, yet fully man. So he's exempt from this because he never did sin. But everybody else that was born of a physical father and a physical mother has sinned against a holy God. It's so interesting. I love children and I love babies. And I love to see them come into this world and I love to see them grow. But one of the first things that babies say when they can understand that, hey, I have a will, I have a mouth, and I can exercise this will that I have. One of the first things that you're going to hear them say when they're exercising their will, this is after they've learned to say mama in Chinese, baba, or in whatever language, papa, or whatever. But it's usually mama. Usually that's like universal for the baby's first words coming out. But that baby will also learn to say in his or her language, no, no. And that's the Adamic part of that baby, because that baby was born into sin and shaped into iniquity. And that's because they're children of their parents. And that's just our nature. Our nature is to say no, or to go contrary to what our parents want us to do, or want to go contrary to what God wants us to do. That's the sin nature in us, nature that will make your little baby and your little boy, your little girl take a pen when they can learn how to grasp a pen and write all over the walls, write on your Bible, write on whatever you're, because not only are they innocent, but they're exercising their full nature. They're exercising. That's the same nature that when you take, don't touch that. And that's what exactly what they want to go and touch. Or don't do that. And that's exactly what they want to go and do. Don't go there. Well, that's exactly where they want to go. That's that part of their human Adamic nature, the part of the nature that struggles. That struggles. They want to sin. They want to do the wrong thing. Don't eat the cookie. Don't go into the cookie jar. And then when you turn around, they go into the cookie jar and take that cookie. They know it's wrong, but that part of that nature that wants to go against authority, wants to go against what you said not to do. And just as it is in the natural, it is in the spiritual. And so many times, you know, that's where we find ourselves. But when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, he gives us his spirit, which is totally different. He deposits his Holy Spirit and allows his Holy Spirit to come and dwell. I mean, this is phenomenal. There is nothing else like this in the entire planet. God sends his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And so when we live for Jesus, we dwell, he's dwelling inside of us, and we pull from the Holy Spirit inside of us when we want to live a life pleasing to God. So we're no longer, you know, just trying to work up you know, being nice and living a Christian life in our own flesh. But now we are taking that resource, powerful dunamis of the Holy Spirit, who lives and abides inside of every believing child of God. We're not born like this. Okay, we have to invite the Spirit of God to come and live inside of us. He's not just going to come to somebody that does not want him there. He will not force his presence on you, certainly not inside of you. So, but this is the difference between those of us that follow the Lord, that know the Lord, that have his Holy Spirit living inside of us and dwelling inside of us, and those that don't. Greater is he, the Word of God says, that's inside of us than he that is in the world. So greater is the Spirit of God living inside of you, if you're a believer, than the spirit of the world, which is against God, against those things that God would have us to do. You know, we know that the enemy of our soul is the devil. He's the adversary. And he is after, he wants the entire world to follow him. He wants everybody to just belong to his kingdom. I remember that one of the saddest verses for me in the Word of God in Scripture is it found in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Matthew 26 and verse 56. It says it like this. The latter part of that verse says, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." Now, this was the time when Jesus was arrested. He was arrested, and Judas, one of his disciples, betrayed him, turned him over to the Roman authorities of the day, and they took Jesus away. And the Bible says that all the disciples deserted him and fled. Now, in the church, we have a lot to say about Peter betraying Jesus. But actually, all of the disciples in the beginning betrayed Jesus because they all deserted him and fled. Peter, even though he betrayed the Lord and denied knowing him, he was the only one of the disciples who followed him after his capture and arrest, but he did so from afar. From afar, not up close. And so no wonder the Lord chose Peter to lead the church after his return back to his heavenly Father. What can you and I take away from this story? What church learn from that today? Here's the answer. If the leader of the first Christian church could arise from his fallen state and learn from his sin of sleeping when he should have been awake, deserting Christ when he should have stayed with him, and finally denying Jesus Christ, he even denied that he was one of his disciples when he was being asked the question. Oh, wait, I've seen you with these people. You're one of the Jesus disciples. And Peter said, no, that's not me. So Peter denied Jesus three times, several times. But even though he denied Jesus Christ, deserted Jesus Christ, and even though Jesus found him asleep with the other disciples, there's tremendous hope for Peter, and there's tremendous hope for you and for me, because God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, and on, all kinds of chances. However, even with God being so generous to forgiving, having such a giving heart, we cannot afford to gamble with our lives, the lives of others, nor take the risk of remaining spiritually asleep, because once the window of opportunity is closed, it's closed. And there is no way to go back. So watch yourself. I'm speaking to you that are listening to this radio broadcast right now. Watch yourself. I'm speaking to you individually. I'm speaking to the church of God. I believe that the Lord would have us not just speak in abstracts or vague generalities, but let's look at some tangible realities in this present day, because Jesus did say, remember, these are the words of Jesus. Everything in Scripture is important to us, but I want to emphasize right now that here goes the words of the one that we're following, the one who is God. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. So what are we supposed to be watching? So now we're going to go from just generalities. Let's look at some specifics that we can be watching. Let's watch our conversation. How's my conversation coming out of my mouth? What I'm saying, am I lining up with God and his word? Now, I love the example that Christ gave us. Even though his flesh part would have rather let that whole suffering and crucifixion and being whipped and bleeding and just unthinkable torment and humiliation, because not only was he crucified, but often they don't show him in the paintings like how he really was. He was stripped naked, put a robe on him. He was stripped naked. And so here goes God incarnate. God come to the earth and stripped naked to give himself as a sacrifice for my sin and your sin. So no wonder the flesh part of him said, Father, if it be possible, please let this cup pass from me. He did not. His flesh did not feel like going through all that suffering. And who can blame him? But he showed us by his tremendous example, he yielded the flesh part of him to his heavenly Father. And he said, nevertheless, Father, at the end of the day, let it not be my will, but let your will be done. That's the secret. That's what you and I have to do every day that we encounter. Every day you and I are tempted to do our own thing. And every day as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to yield to the Spirit of God inside of us. Amen. We got to yield to God's Holy Spirit. And we got to watch our conversation. We're tempted to say a lot of wrong things. In the world that we're living in today in 2018, and we're already in the latter part of 2018 because it's already August. So we're already past that 6 month mark. And in this society, in the culture that we live in, whether you're in America or whether you're in another nation around the world, no matter where you're living in, you know, let's just face it. Our conversation has slipped. There's a lot more profanity. There's a lot more people feeling free to say dirty things and live dirty ways. So as believers in Jesus Christ, we've got to watch our conversation, that our conversation lines up with God. Don't forget, we're representatives. If we belong to Jesus, that is. That's the big qualifying if. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, if his blood has washed my sins clean and he's deposited his Holy Spirit inside of me, I have to have my conversation lined up with what he would want me to have coming out of my mouth. Then not only my conversation, but my thoughts. This teaching that I'm sharing tonight, honestly, this we may have to go to a part two, because there's a lot in this conversation, watching what's coming out of our mouth, not saying what everybody else is saying. So everybody else is saying this, and so we easily fall prey to that, and we speak like that. I remember even teaching some of the kids in the school where I am, and they will say things and speak so loosely, and even say, use God's name in vain. And I've been teaching them, you know, his name is holy. His name is high. His name is to be exalted. We cannot use his name cheap just because everybody else does. And so even though they're not Christians, these little children, they're just middle schoolers. A lot of them, the majority of them, sad to say, don't follow the Lord because they don't know the Lord, and their parents, most of them, don't know the Lord yet. I pray that they come to know the Lord, but the majority of them do not. But at least they can have a respect for God who created them. And so even what we think, the thoughts that we have in our mind, the Word of God says in Psalms that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So it's not only what's coming out of my mouth. I've got to watch my thoughts. And when you belong to Jesus, and I know many of you that are listening and you do love the Lord and you are his children, you know what I'm talking about. When you're having all these wrong thoughts, or when I'm having all these wrong thoughts, the Holy Spirit inside of us checks us and convicts us of sin and of evil, because it's not just what I do, it's what I'm thinking. Jesus said, even if a man would look on a woman to lust with lust and have, you know, think of a sexual experience that he could be having with her in his mind, he's already sinned. So he needs to ask God to forgive him for that. And it's not only men, but women too. We need not to go there. Don't let the world influence your thoughts. Don't let the enemy, don't let things and the culture influence your thoughts. The other thing that we should be watching, we're talking about our conversation. We're talking about those things that we're thinking about. And even watch who is depositing, excuse me, who is speaking into your life. Anybody and everybody speak into your life. Some people you should listen to. Others you should not. You should not, because they're going to lead you the wrong way. So your conversation, your thoughts, watch. I need to watch my actions. I need to watch how I treat people. I need to watch how I treat you. You need to watch how you treat me. I need to watch how I treat my children, especially my children. Because why? They're watching everything that not only that I say, but I do. This complete nonsense, tell a child, oh, just do what I tell you to do, but don't do what you see me doing. Forget that. That's just not reality. Of course that child is going to wind up 9 out of 10 times doing exactly what they saw you doing. Because children are like wet cement. And they're very impressionable. So you have to watch your actions in front of them. I think about the school that I teach in sometimes, and about how 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, almost every other word coming out of their mouth, not all the children, but too great a majority of them, every other word coming out of their mouth is a profane word, a curse word. Why is that? Because they grew up hearing that in their houses, in their homes. Their parents were cursing them out. Their parents were using these words with them. Of course, that's all they know. Sad, but real. You and I, as believers, we are different from the world. We're not to think like the world. We're not to speak like the world. We're not to act like the world. I've got to watch my actions. Because you treat me bad, I still got to treat you good. Boy, that was not easy. Sometimes because you treat me bad, I just won't be with you. And sometimes I have to repent of that, and I have repented of that. Maybe I won't treat you bad, but I won't be with you. And sometimes you can't be with everybody. I mean, let's just face it. Sometimes you forgive people, but you can't be with them because you're going to do it time and time and time again. If those are the extreme cases, of course, you've got to ask God for wisdom and understanding. But how are my actions how am I with people in the workplace? You know, in the workplace, there's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different people saying and doing different things. How am I responding to them? Am I treating them the way they deserve? Am I treating them with respect? Am I treating them with forgiveness? Am I treating them? Sometimes they deserve for me not to be nice, but that doesn't mean that I should not be nice, because thank God that God does not always treat us the way that we deserve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So sometimes I have to treat you nice even though you treat me poorly. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I also have to watch my relationships. I've got to watch who I am in relationship with. I should not be in relationship with everybody and anybody as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, think about that. That alone I could spend an hour on right there. But because of time, we can't stay here too long, perhaps at another time. But my relationships, my relationship with my, if I'm married and I'm a woman, with my husband, my relationship, if I'm a man, I'm married, with my wife, my relationship as a parent, with my children, if I'm a mother, and I am a mother, with my child, if you're a father, your relationships with your sons and your daughters, how is your relationship with them? You should be fostering and asking the Holy Spirit to lead you, because he's a teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches and guides us into all truth. And he will show us how to have good relationships. He will teach us and show us when we should not be in relationship with someone. It doesn't mean that we're not going to like them. It means that we're not going to be in relationship. For instance, for those of you that are in business, you should not be a business partner with everybody. You should seek the will of the Lord to find out, Lord, is this your will that I be in a business partnership with this individual? You know, if you're dating somebody, if you're seeing someone, if you're considering and praying to God about marriage, Lord, is this the partner, the companion that you would like me to have for life? Is this your will, or is this something that I just like in my flesh and that I'm going after? Nevertheless, we should pray like Jesus taught us, not my will, but your will be done. What about my affections? Watch your affections. What are you affectionate about? What are you desirous over? Your desires. You know, what really catches your fancy? What are the things that you really like? Are they in alignment and agreement with those things that God would have me to have affection for? And if they're not, then I need to cut them loose. I've got to watch myself. Why? Because my spirit is willing, Jesus said, but my flesh is weak. So I have to spend time in prayer. I have to spend time in the Word, because I want to be lined up with God. I want to be in accordance with his will. I want to walk into the destiny that God has for me. So I want his desires. I got to ask God to help me to watch even my finances. As a Christian, everything that I have belongs to God. So even the finances that God has blessed me with, or God enables me to be able to make money, to have a salary, to gain wealth, financial wealth, whatever it is, I've got to place that at the feet of Jesus and watch how I'm operating in my finances. Do I always want every shiny thing? Or do I want those things that will further the kingdom of heaven and bring people into God's kingdom? Is my money used to further his cause, or for me to get every, you know, shiny new gadget and thing that's out here? Am I trying to keep up with the Joneses? I've got to watch. That's, again, watching my affections, watching my desires, my ambitions. What do I have? What am I ambitious about? What am I really ambitious about? Watch it. I want what God wants for me. That should be what I want. But you and I, if you're like me, I don't always want just what God wants for me. You may not always want what God wants for you. So that's where we have to watch and pray. Do you see how it's coupled together? Watch and pray. So that when we watch, we're praying in accordance with the will of God to be able to get our desires. Let's look back. Our conversations, our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, our affections, our finances, our desires, our ambitions in alignment, in agreement with God Almighty. Amen. Because we know, as he tells us, and I love this scripture, I often share it with the men when I go to visit them in prison, that the Lord says, I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. The plans that God has for us, that God has for you in particular, personally, plans to prosper you. There is no plan that you can come up with on your own that can outdo God. Just forget it. You cannot. Whatever plan you have is minute, and it is far less than what God has for you. And that's just a fact of reality. Because God is so high and so holy and so awesome. Actually, he's the only one that I call awesome. He is so great that no matter what plan you have for yourself or your family, it can never outdo God's. That's why you can afford to trust God, to trust what he allows you to go through and encounter, because God has a better plan in mind than in view. He says, the plans I have for you are for good, not for evil. Plans to cause you to prosper, not to bring you into calamity. But we have to be willing to watch ourselves and pray. Not just watch, but watch ourselves and pray. Watch our health, even our physical bodies. Are we letting our bodies go? Come on. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a physical frame that the Spirit indwells. So we have to be mindful what we're presenting to God, even as a physical body. Watch my health. Watch what I put into my body. Watch what I eat. Watch what I drink. You know, I often bring up the story about, I use the analogy about people that like to drink alcohol. I'm not saying that for you to drink a little wine is a sin. That's not what this message is about. But I'm saying, why do people, when it's time to have a party or if they have a calamity that has happened in their life, they're going through a hard time, they're going through a difficult phase, many people, not everybody, many people like to turn to alcohol. They like to turn to a drink. Or if it's not a drink, they want to turn to drugs. You know, they want a little this or they want a little that. They're trying to feel good. And the thing of it is, when you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, wow, he gives you his Spirit. There is no better than the Holy Spirit. See, people that are looking to a bottle or looking to a pill or looking to heroin or looking to crack or looking to cocaine to feel like they're enough or they can cope or they can face their fears, they need to listen to this message tonight. Watch and pray. Why? Because we need to watch our health and our physical bodies. Your physical body, it was not meant to thrive on alcohol. And even when you look at a lot of these alcoholic beverages, it would say 65% spirit, meaning, or 65% alcohol, or 45% alcohol, or 80% proof, 80% spirit. That's pretty high, or 85% spirit. And that's why. Why are they looking to the bottle? Because they're looking to get some kind of spirit, literally. they realize that inside of them, they're dead. They might not think it as clearly as I'm sharing it with you right now, but believe me, that's why they're turning to the Bible. Because a part of them understands that spiritually, they're missing the mark. They're dead. And so they look to the alcohol or they look to the drug to try to gain spirit, to try to get help, to try to cope. So sad. So sad. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. I need to watch my health. Watch my physical body. Watch all the junk I'm putting into my body and turn away from that. That's not going to further me to walk into my destiny. It's going to kill me. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my loved ones because it's never just about you. It's always about the people that you're connected to, whether you like it or not, whether you take that responsibility or not. They're not your family, but if they're around you, if they're in your environment, what you do affects other people. How you act affects other people. Watch and pray. Wow, there's so much in this. I can go on, but I can't for time. What about my environment, my surroundings? Am I watching? Am I praying? Am I watching? What do I surround myself with? What kind of an environment do I allow myself to be in and to penetrate me? My environment is so important because it can propel me into the destiny that God has for me, or it can totally destroy my future. So I have to watch my environment, watch my surroundings. And sometimes I've got to leave one place to go to another place. I got to leave a bad place to go into the place that God has for me. I've got to watch my attitude. I've got to watch my attitude. What is my attitude like? Is it, am I an encourager? Am I one that lifts people up? Am I a spiritual Barnabas? A man in the New Testament called Barnabas. And his name literally means son of encouragement. Are you a daughter of encouragement? Are you a son of encouragement? When people are around me, are they lifted or are they being depressed? I've got to watch myself. Am I one to help them to walk into their destiny? Or am I one to help them be apart and separated from what God has for them? My attitude is so important. And be on the lookout, the enemy. Specifically, be on the lookout for the enemy. The Bible says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Okay. Wow. Pick up on this. I was going to do the whole message tonight, but I really believe that I've given you enough in this hour that we need to just let the Holy Spirit work in you, work in me, and let's just let this word get a hold of us. Let the word of God get a hold of us. And we need to start now watching ourselves and becoming a lot more prayerful. We need to be a lot more prayerful, watching our conversation, intentionally, you know, looking at the things that we're thinking about, our thoughts, watching our actions, watching our relationships, our affections, watching our finances, watching and checking our desires, our ambitions, our health, physical body. What are we modeling? to other people that are around us, looking at our environment and our surroundings, watching our attitude, and then being on the lookout for the enemy, because the truth of it is we do have an enemy. And sometimes the enemy is not the devil. Sometimes the enemy is ourselves. Sometimes you and I can be our own worst enemy. We have to let the Holy Spirit, you know, show us and help us. He is so willing to help us. Allow him to help. We'll make this a part two by the grace of God, because I was going to talk about watching ourselves, and then that's individually, but then there's two more areas I wanted us to also watch for. I will share that with you the next time that we have in the Word with your sister Pearl. So let's just pray. I'm going to close this out in prayer. So grateful to Evangelist Montel Fields for this beautiful opportunity. I'm so humbled to be able to share and break the precious bread of life with you tonight. And I invite you, if you got anything from this word, you can always listen to it again and again, because it is online and you can listen on demand. Watch and pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But by the Spirit of God, we can have the victory over the flesh. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful because you walked this earth through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You walked this earth. You know what it is to be tempted. You know what it is to want to not do something. You know what it is to be tempted, but thank God you never yielded to temptation. You know what it is to overcome, and you can allow us and help us to overcome by your Holy Spirit. So I ask you to bless everyone that listened to this message tonight. Bless them abundantly. And for those who have yet to make you their Lord and their Master, may this be the night that they say yes to you, no to the devil. They can have a whole new walk and a whole new life through Jesus Christ, Lord God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you, despite how your own flesh felt, that you said, nevertheless, not my will, but the will of the Heavenly Father be done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing yourself to be crucified so that you might give us life and that eternal. In Jesus Christ, thank you, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. Sister Pearl loves you. More than that, God loves you. Have a phenomenal week until next Sunday night. In Jesus' name. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.